Well, we're going to be back in 1 Peter chapter 1, kind of finish it out this morning. We're not going to take in every verse, but we're going to come close. And I want to kind of tie it in. And just to kind of remind you of what we talked about last week, you know, we talked about being pilgrims here on this earth and that this world is not our home, but that Peter talked about what a great hope we have in Jesus Christ. That was one of the things we talked about. And hope, that living hope that we have, is kind of the recurring overarching theme of that section of verses that we read there in the first 9 verses of 1 Peter chapter 1. And so he's talking about our hope mainly. Walking in hope, living in hope, living in an expectant state that Christ is going to soon return to this earth. But while we're waiting, we are to maintain our pilgrim status. And that we're not just randomly selected to be scattered over the earth. That God placed us in this world, in the day and age that we live in, so that we might give Him glory and praise. Well, now, this week, we're going to move from walking in hope to walking in holiness. That's going to be our recurring theme this morning, is walking in holiness. But the end goal of those two things are that we walk also in harmony. And you know, can we admit there's not a lot of harmony in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? That's why we have so many denominations. Somebody got upset with somebody else and they went and formed another denomination in another church. And this is the only way to do it. No one has God all figured out. If they tell you they do, they are lying and ignorant. Because we're kind of like doctors. We're just practicing. We're getting to know God more and more day by day. God, give us a hunger to know Him more. God, give us a hunger to never be satisfied with where we are. You know, I've been at this thing now. God saved me, let's see, I was 22, 33 years ago now, God saved me. 33 years ago. And there's been a lot of things that I knew when I first started out on my journey that God has totally changed my mind about. And I'm okay with that. Amen? He can do that as He sees fit, as He wants to. So, be flexible, but on the essentials and the fundamentals, be dogmatic. Amen? But we're going to talk about walking in holiness, and I titled this message this morning, Staying Clean in a Polluted World. Staying Clean in a Polluted World. Now we're going to pick up in verse 13. Not that verses 10 through 12 are not worthy of our attention, but just for time's sake and flow into what we want to talk about, we're going to pick up there at verse 13 in 1 Peter 1. And we'll read down through verse 21. Let's read the Word of God together. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme... Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm in chapter 2. Here we go. I knew that wasn't right. Okay, let's start over. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. excuse me. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Let's pray together. Lord God, again, I come before you this morning with an humble heart. And God, I just want to proclaim that you are worthy. You are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. And God, there is no way. There is no way that any one of us here and all of us put together can proclaim your goodness in a manner that is worthy of you. But Lord, we're here because we're your children and we eagerly anticipate what you want to say to us. We long for your presence, your manifested presence among your people by your Spirit. God, I thank you for the word, for the written word. It is written that we might know that we are children of God. I thank you, God, that your word is immovable. It's undeniable. It has already obtained the victory because Jesus is the living word, the word of God. Thank you for who you are this morning. God, teach us by your Spirit. And may we be obedient to the word that we hear and give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, I don't want to scare you, but I've got five things that I'm going to mention. Five attributes of God in this passage. Brother Eddie, would you lock the back door, please? No, we're not going to take forever. Five attributes of God that I believe will help us stay clean in a polluted world. The first one is found back in verse 13 that we just read, and it's the glory of God. See what he says again? He says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, has Christ already been revealed? Yes. Is he being revealed today? Yes. Will he be revealed at some point in the future? Yes. All three, yes and amen, because Jesus Christ is timeless. Jesus Christ did not come into existence. He was not a created being. He was not born 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. I can't explain that. I can't wrap my little pea brain around that. All I can tell you is that is the Word of God and it is true. And we can believe it and we can trust it and we can know that it is immovable as any mountain has ever been. Jesus is Lord. Thank God for that. Now, have you and I experienced all of His glory? No way. I believe that's why it's so important that He starts off verse 13 by saying, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Because would you agree with me, there are so many modern day distractions for us to get into. We're like a bunch of squirrels. We're here, there, and yonder. We're just nutty. There's too much eye candy out there. And I'm as bad as anyone. I admit, I was born in 1967. To some, that's Moses' day. And to some, I'm just a kid. But there were not that many distractions. My daddy knew how to keep me focused. I had ADD, Brother Eddie. But he gave me a gooseneck hoe. And he said, son, pick you out a good gentleman because you're going to be with it all day. And we'd get out there in them soybean fields and them cotton fields, and it'd be 182 degrees like it's been recently. But we just toughed it out. I stayed focused. Now there's too much for us. I think that's of the devil. Am I saying that modern technology is evil in itself? Of course not. It can be used for the glory of God. But anything that distracts you and I from thinking on Him is not worthy of our time. How many hours do we spend a week watching television and on social media, and how many hours of the week do we pore over God's Word? It's a question that begs to be answered. And I can't answer it for you, and you can't answer it for me. But God knows our hearts, amen? And He knows where we are. What brings God glory is that He might pour out His grace gifts upon... See, He said, I'm the grace that is to be brought unto you. You see, I'm not the finished product. I've already tasted His grace, amen? I've already been gifted by His grace. I have grace gifts that He has sovereignly given me. He's placed me in the body of Christ. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for Him. But I'm not the finished product. Thank God. I'm going to get a new glorified body one day. I'm going to get finally a mind that is totally renewed, that doesn't have to, that I won't be practicing it, I will be living in it. Isn't that good? And anybody that says they've seen the full glory of God already, they don't know what they're talking about. Because you and I are just like Moses at this point. Remember what Moses said? He asked the Lord, he said, Lord, would you let me see your glory? And he said, Moses, you can't see me and live. But I'll tell you what I'll do, son. I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock and I'll put my hand over you and I'll pass by you and I'll let you see my hinder part, but you can't see me right now and live. One of these days, our faith is going to end in sight. Praise God. That right there ought to keep us focused on Him and off of the world and all of its little gadgetry and attractants. Amen? It looks good. It's got bright flashing lights. Stay away from it. Stay with the old time stuff. Amen? The older I get, the more old timey I get. But you know what? God's old fashioned too. He's timeless. He's not catching on to the latest fad. He is everything. And His glory is worthy. He's worthy of all glory. And that starts by daily renewing our minds. You know what Paul told us in Romans chapter 12? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. And what that is the implied grammar is continual renewing of your minds. Because if we don't use our minds, they turn to pudding. Amen? The older we get, the harder I have to work at mine, because mine's going. I've got some shorts in the hardware somewhere, but by the grace of God, day by day, I'm still growing, I'm still learning. I've still got a desire in my heart to give Him glory. So that's one attribute that will help us. The next one is found in verses 14 and 15, and that's the holiness of God. For he says in verse 14, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Number one, obedience is the key to holiness. You and I will never be holy unless we obey what God says. Any child that lives in disobedience to his parents is not honoring his parents. Amen? If we're continually gouging our children because they're misbehaving. They may say they love us, but they don't love us sometimes by the way they behave. Amen? Now, you're saying, brother, if all we have is behavioral conformity, you've heard me preaching on that. If all we have is behavioral conformity, we don't have much. Our behavior should not be spawned from a sense of, he's going to punish me if I don't do well. Our behavior should spawn from, he loves me beyond all compare. He has provided for my every need. He is worthy of everything, and therefore I want to please him. I've got a new desire. And you know what God is above all things? You say, which attribute is greater? None of them. But without his holiness, all the other attributes just don't seem to fit. God is separate. God is holy. God, there is no one or nothing like our God. He is the self-existent creator of everything that breathes and moves. If it's in this world, it came because God created man in his image and placed him here to have dominion. So we're called to be holy, and that starts with obeying him. If I say I love Jesus, but I never do what he says, do I really love him? I find that hard to believe. If I don't obey him, not because I have to, but because he gave me a new want to. I want to do what pleases him. So holiness, obedience is the key to holiness. And that will, holiness in our character, will change our behavior. Amen? I used to dip snuff and run around, drink a few Budweisers on the weekend with my buddies, sneak around and do that kind of stuff because I wanted to be on the in crowd. And then I realized that kind of behavior don't last very long. It doesn't get you anywhere. But I'll tell you what'll get you somewhere is being like Jesus. That'll take you to the mountain heights. When I started acting like him, I realized something. There is no greater person, entity, God in the universe that is as great as Jesus Christ. And that when I behave like him, that's what pleases him the most. He changed my behavior not because I'm scared of him, even though I have a holy fear, amen? And we're going to get to that in a little bit. We should have a holy fear of God, but we should not have a phobia of God, because God wants us to be near him. He wants to spend time with us. And last of all, before we move on, holiness is not an option. He didn't say, be holy if you want to. Be holy one of these days when you feel like it. Be holy one of these days when it's convenient for you. He said, be holy because I am holy. And if I live in you, then you better be holy. Amen? Not an option. All right. That's another attribute that'll help us stay clean in a polluted world. But look at the next one in verse 16. We also have the Word of God. Peter says in verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Why'd he throw that in there? You know, why didn't he just say, you know, God said be holy? Where'd he get it from? Where did Peter get it from? Peter knew where it was. It's over in Leviticus. You can find it several times in the book of Leviticus. Be holy, be holy, be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. You know, and I found in this world, is anyone saved? I'm going to ask y'all a question. Is anyone saved by the Bible? Does the Bible save anybody? No, of course not. But how do we know about God? By the Bible, right? You see, don't get me wrong. I know there's a difference. But it's at the same time, it's kind of hard to separate the written word from the living word, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was what? The Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't take my pocket knife and split that very well. I don't even want to try. You know why? Jesus is the Word of God. And even Christ Himself, when He was in His flesh on this earth, in Matthew chapter 4, when He was being tempted in the wilderness, what did He do? He took three verses out of Deuteronomy to defeat the devil. You know, if I'd have been Jesus, let me tell you how I'd have done it. Devil, I'm God in the flesh, and you need to leave me alone, or I'm going to turn you into a crispy critter right now. How about that? That's what I'd have done. But you know what Jesus did? He humbled Himself to become like us in the first place. And when He was hungry, and when He was tired and weary and thirsty, and the devil jumped on Him with both feet, He just went to the Word of God and used three verses out of Deuteronomy. Not the New Testament. Deuteronomy, and said, "Devil, it is written." And I'll tell you something else about the written word. It cuts out all the haggling over what's right and wrong. You know, the Bible isn't nearly as hard to figure out as a lot of folks make it to be. They complicate it because they want to find some kind of hatch door, trap door to go on living in their sin and still be blessed and still be saved. Can't do it. What do I do with those verses that I don't understand? I just work harder at living out the ones I do understand and ask God to give me help. Was it Mark Twain that said, "It's not the verses I don't understand I have the most trouble with, it's the ones I do"? That's a pretty good saying. And how are we going to know how to win our battles if we don't get in the Word? If Jesus used the Word of God correctly, how are we going to when we don't really... Most professing Christians in America do not know the Bible anymore. That is a sad statement to make. Is it not? We need to know our Bibles. In Matthew chapter 5, I believe it begins in verse 43 down through verse 48, Jesus is talking to them about adultery and different things. He says, "You've heard it's been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, pray for them, do all these things for them, treat them well." You see, Jesus never corrected what had been written. He just corrected what had been said about what had been written. Right? Because there's a lot of false teachers out there, and if you don't know your Bible for yourself, any slick-tongued snake oil salesman can come in here and mess you up. But when you know the Word of God, you immediately recognize deception and you can do away with it. So know the Word of God for yourself. You can't really separate the two. And I personally don't believe that anybody's out saved without the Word of God. Because how are they saved? Romans chapter 10. The preacher goes forth. He preaches the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the way I see it. So stay in the Word. The next thing that we have is in verse 17. That's the judgment of God. That'll help keep us clean too. He says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." So What he's telling us is simply this: God doesn't play favoritism. He doesn't have favorites. He doesn't show partiality. I don't love anyone any more or any less than anyone else. I love you all the same, but you will all be judged by the same standard. I will not lower my standard for you so that you can sneak in. He said, my son is the standard. You will live according to him. You will be judged according to him. You all have the same opportunity. Are we all created the same? Are we cookie cutters? Of course not. God is as diverse and as massive, and that's why he made us as individuals. He likes our differences, but he does not play favorites, thank God. Does he have intimates? You bet he does. Y'all hear me say that all the time here. God does have intimates. If you want to get to know him better, get to know him. It's that simple. Just get to know him. And he will reveal himself to you, but he will never love anyone more than he loves you. And he'll never love anyone less than he loves you. If you're his child, you're his child. And you get all of him. You don't get part of him. And he doesn't play favorites. I know a lot of parents that play favorites with their kids, and it shows. When their children become adults, there's a tension there. We should never do that. Our children should never sense a big separation between the love of one child and another. Never. And I know we're not perfect, and I know we're not sinless. But we should work hard on that if we have multiple children. Only children, they get something different. Right? But I had a house full, so I had to spread it around. So, the judgment of God. God is going to judge us according to what we've done in this life. And last of all, I wanted to just take a couple of minutes on verses 18 through 21. We just need the love of God in our heart. He says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. How much did he love us? He redeemed us, the Bible says, by his precious blood. You know what that word redeem means? It just simply means to ransom something from loss. You and I were on our way to perdition. You and I were on our way to a devil's hell. And he intercepted us. And he drew us to the precious bleeding side of Jesus Christ. His back was torn and ripped up for us. He hung on a cross for hours on that day. That is love, my friends. Not flowers and chocolates and all those kind of things, even though that can be love at times. Amen. I like ice cream, chocolate, and all that stuff. But I needed salvation. I needed redeeming. I needed ransoming back because Satan had me bound. I was in my sin. I was wallowing in my own sin and shame and guilt, and he took it all away. Because he loves me. And I love the fact that that love is not a temporary love. It didn't come into being because it was caused to come into being. The Bible says here that it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Before he ever breathed life into Adam, he already had the plan in place. Because salvation is not a plan, it's a man. Jesus. And Jesus loves you and I. And no one can change that. It says that His blood was precious. That means His love is invaluable. There's no way that we can calculate the value, the worth of the love of God for us. It's as precious as His Son's blood. That blood was stainless, blameless, sinless, and He poured it out so that we might have eternal salvation and redemption. That's a sweet story. So, and that's what it's going to take to face these last days in the world we live in. Because if we don't have the love of God in our heart, we're going to get bitter and angry. I want to ask y'all a question. Be honest with me and with yourself. It is hard to not be bitter nowadays, isn't it? It's hard not to get angry. It's hard not to want to lash out. But you know what? Every time I start feeling like lashing out, I remember what He did for me. And that puts it in perspective. That puts it in perspective because I didn't deserve mercy. I didn't deserve grace. And as long as He has us here, He has us here for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Him. And the only way to glorify Him is what? To walk in hope, to walk in holiness, and to walk in harmony. And let the world see Christ in us.